Hello and welcome back to Haunted 518 on this spookiest of all weeks of the year, the countdown to Halloween. I have another episode for you today, and I am going to be drinking Allagash Haunted House, and it's a hoppy dark ale. So let's go ahead and get that cracked open. So this beer is actually like almost black in color. And I was kind of nervous to try it because I don't really do dark ales, but it's interesting. I like it. It's not something I would necessarily choose, but it definitely sets the mood. It's a deep purple can with neon green writing, says Haunted House, and it's got a cool doodle of a haunted house on it. So Allagash Haunted House features a roasted caramel malt base with some hops and festive spices in the aftertaste. Chocolate, vanilla, caramel, raisin, and cinnamon are just some of the subtle flavors that come across the palate. The color is black with some red highlights peeking through in the light. The head is off-white in color and not too substantial, and it bills itself as a hoppy dark ale. Some would call it a porter, but some call it a black IPA. But whatever it is, it's delicious. So that's directly the description from their website, because I wanted to Google a picture of what the actual color of it was, because I know I was looking in the can and I was wondering if it was actually purple. I was curious because it kind of looked purple. So there's a picture of it and it looks black as night, and that's what it looks like in the can itself. So Allagash Haunted House, if you like dark porters, it's interesting called a black IPA because it definitely doesn't taste as heavy as a regular porter. So that's why I actually like it. It just wouldn't be my go-to necessarily. But the reason I wanted to drink something called Haunted House today was because the topic we're talking about, the best towns to visit across the United States for Halloween, mainly because people either decorate their houses to look like haunted houses, or there are actual haunted houses, or there are haunted house attractions. So, I wanted to have a beer that fit that theme. So we're going to talk about all the different places across the United States that for basically reasons, they're the best towns to visit because they really evoke that sense of nostalgic sense of Halloween. It just, when you're there, you just feel surrounded by all things Halloween. That fall autumnal feeling and the spookiness and fun that goes along with what I remember Halloween being growing up. You know, as an adult, it kind of changes and it's harder to find that. So I wanted to know, where are the best places to go to actually get that feeling? And the reason I'm interested in this topic and I wanted to share it with you guys is because I found a town a couple years ago, and it's been on my like top to-do list to go to stay and just have fun roaming around seeing the sights, because they really go all out. And I talk to people about it, like Halloween buffs and paranormal people, and most people I talk to just don't know about it. So I wanted to share what is known as Terror on Tilson Street. So basically what it is, Tilson Street is a street in Romeo, Michigan, of all places. And basically the understanding is, if you live on this street, you participate in decorating your house like over the top for Halloween, and people really go all out. So I'm actually going to post like a walking tour video on our Facebook page so you can see, and we're going to also listen to a little clip from a local newscast that covers it. But I just can't stress enough that this is probably the best decorated street I've seen, and it's authentic and everybody goes all out, and it just really feels like if I'm walking down this street, the people are putting the effort in, and it feels almost like a step back in time, like when I was younger, when you'd go through a neighborhood and everybody really chipped in to decorate and make sure things were as exciting as possible for walking around at night for both kids and adults. But these displays go like all out. So basically, according to TerrorOnTilson.com, the event was started by someone named Vicky Lee, who had moved into the area because her birthday fell on Halloween and her mom always went over the top. So when she grew up and had kids, she moved on to Tilson Street. She's been there for over 35 years now, and she basically decorated a little more extravagantly than the other neighbors. There weren't many kids, and so they kind of thought she was a little crazy, but then more people started moving in and more people started like enjoying what she was doing and decorating their homes, and then it really blossomed into like a really over the top display. And it's really cool because Romeo is basically made up, it's a quaint village made up of historical homes dating back to the 1850s. And Tilson Street is just like the go-to destination for all the residents and people from around the area. And it's 100% homeowner funded. So it's just a really cool thing that has come to fruition because a bunch of neighbors just thought it would be a great idea to make something of it. So there is no opening per se. It's always open. You can drive through while they're decorating to set up. And the street does close on Halloween for traffic safety, so that's really nice. You can walk without worrying. It's totally free, and parking is just anywhere around there. And pets are allowed. You can walk pets, but they note that like thousands of people are on the street at any given time, so it could be like a little bit of a nerve-wracking situation for animals. Somebody had asked the community, where do you store all your decorations? Because some of them are quite large, and they say in every nook and cranny we can find in our homes, garages, basements, and barns, and even under the beds. So, you can trick or treat. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. every year. So I like the idea of being an adult and trick or treating. And you don't have to wait in line to walk the streets. You just go and walk around and have fun. So I know in the past I've seen photos of Tilson Street where someone actually put like an entire pirate ship, like bust. It looked like it was bursting out of like the front of his I think that's how I found it. I was trying to find the most extravagant decorated haunted houses in the world or the United States a few years ago, and I came across this pirate ship that looked like it was like a actual real pirate ship bursting out the front of a normal like raised ranch home that size, a normal home, and I was like, that is insane. So I started to look at all the displays on Tilson Street, so I'll definitely post some pictures. But we're going to go to, it's actually not the local newscaster, it's a, what looks to be a local real estate agent out of Detroit, who did like a story on Tilson Street. So he talks about how it's the best display in Metro Detroit. So Terror on Tilson Street. So this was actually only from a few weeks ago that he posted this, so I will go ahead and let you enjoy listening. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
It's October, and to me that means Halloween, and more specifically, a destination that I think deserves a little more attention thrown its way, and that is Tilson Street in Romeo. We're going to cover its history, the stats around it, some of the house themes, and how this has really brought the community together. If you're new to our channel, I'm Mike Pern. I'm a local real estate agent, and for the last 21 years, I've had the honor to serve Metro Detroit and help thousands of people buy their homes and sell their current homes. I'm super proud of my team as they've earned over 2,200 five-star reviews as of the taping of this on Google and climbing rapidly. If we can help you with your move locally or nationally, call, text, or email me anytime. We also have a network of the best in the business nationally, so don't hesitate to reach out. Also, subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed, because we make videos monthly about what's going on in Metro Detroit, the communities we serve, financial and real estate updates. If you're looking for all things Halloween in Metro Detroit, scope out our Halloween playlist and let's talk Tilson Street. Go Before we dig into the history, let's get some stats up on the screen to frame up the size of this thing. Romeo's home to about 3,900 people. It's also home to the second oldest festival in Michigan, the Peach Festival, that happens over Labor Day. It draws around 5,000 to 6,000 people as a crowd. The Armada Fair, going since 1872, 150 years strong, is the largest and oldest in the area and draws roughly 25,000 people. Tilson Street is a pack of 30 homeowners, just neighbors, and they draw over 80,000 visitors and 10,000 just on Halloween night. And I want to make sure I've got that context right. This isn't a professional carnival or a company. It's just 2.5 dozen neighbors that love Halloween. The Tilson Street tradition was started 43 years ago by a lady who has a love of Halloween like no other. This lady's name is Vicki Lee, and she started the tradition as a mother that wanted to go just a bit over the top for her kids. And she was actually inspired by her mother. Vicki's birthday is on Halloween, so her mom always went just a little bit further to do something a little bit extra to make her birthday she shared with Halloween just a little bit more special. When Vicki moved on to Tilson Street, it was mostly an older community, and she was a bit standalone in her love of Halloween. Her biggest concern at the moment was that the neighbors would think that she's crazy. Now, with the mature maple trees and the historic homes dating back into the 1800s, it's actually a perfect street to get your Halloween on before any decorations actually go up. Over time, as younger families moved in, they started one by one to follow suit with Vicki and her over-the-top decorations. Now, in the 90s and through the 2000s, no matter when a family moved onto Tilson Street, they would be warmly greeted by families that currently live on Tilson with a handshake, a smile, and just one short question. So, do you like Halloween? Today, over 30 homes take part in the tradition, and each year the decor just gets a little bigger, a little more complex, and a little crazier. As early as August, some of the neighborhood starts coming to life with building and constructing with an increasing frenzy through September and early October. Some of the displays are up in just a few hours, but most of them take several days to fully set up. Oftentimes, the neighbors are working away in late September and early October, and cars of visitors will actually start coming by as early as that. Newcomers and first-timers will usually stop and ask any of the neighbors, "Hey, when is the event open?" Residents jokingly reply, "Tomorrow." And it's always kind of a funny inside joke they have because honestly, Tilson Street is a public street and it's actually always open. You can drive down at any time. If you're driving the area early October, you're also going to see packs of neighbors going from house to house to help each other out. A lot of the displays are intricate and have heavy objects that need a couple of people to move, like pillars for a ballroom, the mast of a ghostly pirate ship, and there's no organization or company that sets this up. It's all neighborhood ingenuity and elbow grease. One of the neighbors recalled his first year living on the street, and he was totally overwhelmed and not ready for the experience. The amount of decorating, the crowds that caused a bit of claustrophobia, and the mob of trick-or-treaters on Halloween itself. As Lee's kids got older, they did stay involved with Tilson Street in their own way. As teens, they started the volunteer bulldog security named after the Romeo Bulldogs, and that to make sure that no candy is being stolen and tapped down on, of course, any other mischief that's going on. Now today, Mike, one of Lee's sons, is a coach for the Romeo football team, and he brings volunteer football players back to keep a seen presence on the street and exude that calm and safety. Now over time, homes also started trending towards their own individual themes, and as those took hold, they also got progressively bigger, more detailed, and more complex. Peter and Kelly, one of the homeowners on the street, set up a toxic playground that they started back in 2011. They started buying older playground equipment that was not being used and then repurposing it into a display of a haunted playground. The Yes to Distress House is a play on the Say Yes to the Dress series on TLC. The distress part are the almost dozen Corpse Bride skeletons that clearly said yes to distress, but not to the dress. It's also known as the Bridal Bones Boutique. The football graveyard is super funny, and it proudly promotes the Romeo Bulldogs, and on the tombstones, other teams from Southeast Michigan with the dates of when Romeo beat them. They seem to have a thing against Stevenson specifically. It seems like they're on several tombstones. Somebody throw a comment in if you know what that's about, because I have no idea what that rivalry is about or how that works at all. There's also the Beetlejuice House, which is set up with a very Michael Keaton-looking full-size Beetlejuice, a very Winona Ryder-looking Lydia, and of course the Sandworm, and very non-Alec Baldwin-looking and Gina Davis full-size mannequins. The Pirate Ship House is set up to look like a pirate ship is sinking literally into the ground, and now that's right next door to the Deadly Dinner Party House, which has a skeleton masquerade going complete with fireplace, chandelier, and dancing. Hotel Tilson is set up like a hotel in Transylvania, with horse skeleton-drawn carriages bringing in new guests to a concierge. They put out the red rails and red carpet to give it that extra haunted look, and I'm guessing that guests can probably check out, but they can never leave. Okay, that was a bad play on Hotel California. Great song, though. Love the Eagles. One of my favorites is the Harry Potter house, with themes and references to the books and the movies. There are quotes from the books on tombstones, and the leaky cauldron serves drinks, and even Ollivander's shop is there. Hockey Night in Romeo is super nifty. It's a display based off a hockey theme with a miniature ice rink and a full Zamboni as part of it. A concession stand and penalty box, or sin box as I-N, can also be seen. This is a completely free event the neighbors put on as a labor of love. Talking with one of them, they kept most of the doors and the cabinets from a recent remodel just in case it could be used in their Halloween getup, or any of the neighbors could use it in theirs. Leading up to Halloween, I've seen several of the neighbors out and about talking with people that are walking through the streets and taking in the displays, and more than once I saw a bag of candy exchange hands. Now that's the proper way to thank the owners of Tilson Street for their dedication. They'll hand out an estimated 75,000 pieces of candy to over 2,000 kids on Halloween night. As a nice show of gratitude, bringing a bag of candy or two is a great way to donate to the cause, because the neighbors and the homeowners are doing this completely out of pocket with their own expenses. The second is through the Tilson Street charity that was started by Lee's late husband, William Buzz Lee, a lifelong Romeo resident that started the fund to give scholarships to local kids for vocational schools and college. He unfortunately passed from a brain tumor in 2002. Now, to date, the fund has given out over $80,000, and Vicky Lee's expecting to raise $10,000 more just this year. In addition to scholarships, they give to the local sports programs, the robotics teams, and also donate money to the Wounded Warrior Project. Last year, Vicky also ordered and sold out of over 1,000 shirts, the profits all going to the fund. And you can buy one of the shirts on the Tilson Street website, which we'll link below. I personally have several of them. Now, while I was walking the street, it struck me that all this stuff has to go somewhere in November for storage. I asked one of the owners, and they said, everywhere. It goes in their closets, which are filled to the brim, their attics, their basements, and they even put stuff under the bed. He pointed at one house and said, those guys moved in, and after the first year they moved in, they haven't parked in their garage ever since. Now, here are a couple FAQs you should know before going. First one is where to park. There's parking on the street, which also can be difficult on Tilson Street. The surrounding streets like Crosswell to the south and Pleasant to the north are a little bit easier, but I think the best spots are Crosswell Elementary School, just 2 blocks to the south, or St. John Lutheran Church, 2 blocks to the north and the west of Tilson Street. As well, there's St. Clement's Catholic Church to the south and east on Main Street, 2 blocks south of Tilson. Now, the elementary school and the two churches may charge for parking as a means of raising money. The streets are free, but honestly, if you can park in the lot, pay them. It's worth it. And do not, if possible, park at any of the stores on the Main Street, because frankly, that's just annoying. Now, there are no bathrooms on Tilson Street, but there are some establishments on Main Street downtown. While you're there, definitely do a little shopping. It's a great little downtown. Grab a coffee at one of the coffee shops like Main Tree Coffee House. Next up is timing. Getting there before dusk is critical, and it gets crowded super quick. My advice is to find out on which day that you're going, when the sun sets, and get there about 20 or 25 minutes ahead of time. Displays. Now, most displays are kept lit until between 10 and 11 each night. They do not run them through the night, because that electricity bill would just be atrocious. On Halloween night, trick-or-treating starts at 6 p.m. and goes to 8 p.m. The residents close down the street from traffic from 5:30 to 8:30, and if somehow you get a spot on Tilson Street, just know that your car is not going anywhere until at least 8:30 on the 31st. And that is the history and the story of Tilson Street, where it came from, how big it's gotten, and a really good story of a group of a dozen and a half dedicated homeowners that really just want to bring smiles to faces. My name is Mike. Thank you for going on this journey with me through Tilson Street in October.
So I hope you enjoyed that description of Terror on Tilson Street. The pirate ship one is just ridiculous. So I'll definitely make sure I post that video. I'll post another walking video. I'll post pictures. So if you crave that nostalgic feeling of an actual neighborhood that fully participates in trick-or-treating for kids and adults alike, that looks like the place to go. And I love that it's such a small town, so I can support local there for sure. So moving on, that was my main inspiration for this episode, and I wanted to make sure we started with that. But I figured we'd now move on to the 7 best Halloween towns in the United States. And then one of them is in New York. And then we'll talk about some other towns too, some smaller towns that have been noted as places to go as well. So the first one is Anoka, Minnesota. So when it comes to best places to celebrate Halloween, it's hard to beat the Halloween capital of the world. Anoka hosts what's believed to be the first organized Halloween event in the United States, which originally started as a way to keep kids from pulling pranks and creating mischief. Today, the event has turned into a month full of festivities and family fun. About 30 minutes north of Minneapolis, Anoka's riverfront location also makes this a beautiful spot to view fall foliage and enjoy outdoor adventures. While you're there, see why Anoka is considered a major shopping destination by perusing local boutiques and antique dealers. So the Halloween things to do in Anoka. Be on the lookout for ghosts and goblins by taking a visit to the Anoka Haunted House. Show off your finest pumpkin carving skills to win a prize or enter yourself into the Scarecrow Contest at the Pumpkin Way-Off Scarecrow Contest and Adult Pumpkin Carving Contest at the Anoka City Hall Plaza. Pick a great spot at the Grand Day Parade, the largest parade in the state, and view floats, costumes, and displays in the dark at the Light Up Night Parade. Stroll the streets to see the handiwork of locals competing in the house decorating contest. Get a move on at the Anoka Halloween Gray Ghost Run, where participants are encouraged to wear costumes and run a 5K. The next one is Buena Park, California. So, searching for one of the best cities for Halloween, then travel to Buena Park. Named the Halloween capital of SoCal, the area transforms into Buena Park for Halloween season during September and October. This is largely due to the transformation of the Knott's Berry Farm theme park into Knott's Scary Farm, the first and longest running Halloween theme park in the United States that includes mazes and interactive zombie experiences. When you're not busy checking out Buena Park's seasonal haunts, enjoy the beautiful weather, indulge in sweet treats, or visit the nearby Disneyland. So, Halloween things to do in Buena Park: you head to Knott's Scary Farm to ride the transformed roller coasters, participate in interactive thrills, and get lost in eerie mazes. Discover more mellow scares, go trick-or-treating through the ghost town, and see Halloween shows at Camp Snoopy Theater at Knott's Spooky Farm, which is recommended for those 13 and younger. Explore a haunted house, pick up pumpkins from the pumpkin patch, or enter the little ones into the kids' costume contest at the Fall Spooktacular. Attend Vampirates for a seasonal twist on the original two-hour, four-course Pirates dinner adventure. End the night at a witch-themed bar, the Cauldron Spirits and Brew, for a craft cocktail or hearty seasonal dish in an intimate setting. Or travel to Disneyland for Halloween events, including the Oogie Boogie Bash and the Main Street Pumpkin Festival. The next one is Las Vegas, in Nevada, in case you didn't know. If you're dreaming of dancing the night away at some of the biggest Halloween parties in the United States, there's a good chance you'll find them in Las Vegas. The month of October brings spine-chilling cocktails, haunted street parades, and even more costume-clad individuals roaming the strip than usual. While you're there, make the most of Vegas resorts and casinos, which are homes to luxurious pools, boutique shopping, museums, dining, and free entertainment. So, Halloween things to do? Head to Hackasan Nightclub during Halloween weekend to see popular DJ sets and themed dance parties. Celebrate the Day of the Dead at the Freak the Beat Music Festival, which features two stages, a silent disco, and a $3,000 costume contest. Go dancing and listen to hip music on Halloween Saturday at the Tao Nightclub. Visit Fremont Street for the month-long Rock of Horror event, featuring live music, light shows, costume contests, and a Halloween bar crawl. Put your puzzle-solving skills to the test in a truly terrifying setting at the official Saw Escape, or get your fill of scares at the Asylum and Hotel Fear Haunted Houses. I had no idea New Orleans had Halloween-related things and was a good place to go. The next one is New Orleans, down in Louisiana. While New Orleans has a big Mardi Gras reputation, the Big Easy is also one of the best vacation spots for Halloween. I didn't know that. As one of America's most haunted cities, there are tons of events centered around the area's voodoo and supernatural history. Ghostly activities like exploring the cemeteries, also known as cities of the dead, or taking a haunted tour are popular activities year-round, but costume parties, parades, and interactive experiences only get more elaborate as October 31st approaches. And then it says Halloween things to do. Watch the Crew of Boo Parade in the French Quarter to see participants wearing extravagant costumes, riding one-of-a-kind floats, and tossing candy for the kids. Participate in spooktacular family-friendly activities like riding the ghost train at Boo at the Zoo. Explore 8 acres of frights with the Devil's Swamp Haunted Terror Tour, or enjoy more mild fun like live music and carnival rides at Scout Island Scream Park. Hear the stories of the famous voodoo queen Marie Laveau and see her tomb on a cemetery voodoo tour. Test out your ghost hunting skills at the mortuary haunted house while you make your way through a haunted mansion. Or see a national touring act and visit the Fright Zone at the Voodoo Festival. That sounds awesome. The next one is Salem, Massachusetts. If you're not sure where to go for Halloween, look no further than Salem. The infamous setting for the witch trials of 1692 has a reputation for being full of supernatural oddities. Witch museums, witch trial reenactments, and magic shops fill the city during the Halloween season. Plan your visit for October to participate in the special haunted happening festivities, which includes parades, film screenings, psychic readings, and more throughout the entire month. There's also endless local history to experience any time of the year on the Salem Heritage Trail. Halloween things to do. So visit at the beginning of the month to attend the Grand Parade, which is full of festive floats, vehicles, and performances. And that actually happened last week, I believe, or a week and a half ago. I think it was like the 12th or the 13th. And I didn't know they kicked it off because I was supposed to go to Salem during COVID, unfortunately, in 2020, and I couldn't go, end up going, but I had it booked, and I didn't know they kicked off the celebration with the parade, so I saw photos of it the other day, and it looks like a really awesome, just extravagant, decorated costume, crazy parade, so I definitely would love to go to see that, plus go for Halloween. You can watch the Salem Witch Trials come to life through ghostly projections and 4D effects by attending the Gallows Hill Main Show at the Gallows Hill Museum. You can let your animals be the star of the show at the Halloween Pet Parade. Howl-o-ween. Tour the city on foot to uncover their history of Salem with a local historian as your guide by taking a bewitched historical tour. You can hop aboard the Ghosts and Legends trolley for an eerie ride that will drive you past spots like the Ghost House of Seven Gables. And you can take part in a month-long Festival of the Dead by attending events like the Salem Psychic Fair or Witch's Halloween Ball. Or watch your favorite horror movies on the big screen, or stop by for a live podcast taping at the Salem Horror Fest. The next one, and you guessed it, is the one in New York, is Sleepy Hollow. Thanks to the legend of the Headless Horseman, Sleepy Hollow is one of the best places in America for Halloween. You can plan a trip to the haunted village that inspired Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow to see the story performed as a musical, take part in live-action thrills, and much more. And the Halloween things to do, you can explore Horseman's Hollow and the Phillipsburg Manor to travel back in time to the 18th century and see the legend of Sleepy Hollow unfold. Just be ready for the undead to pay a visit. Visit the grave of Washington Irving, William Rockefeller, and Andrew Carnegie during the day, or see the cemetery by lantern at night on Sleepy Hollow Cemetery Walking Tour. Sign up for a Sleepy Hollow Haunted Hayride to follow the same path as the legendary tale, which takes you past the old historic Old Dutch Church across the infamous wooden bridge and into the woods. Travel to the Irvington Town Hall Theater for a musical retelling of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, or check out more than 7,000 hand-carved pumpkins arranged on a carousel, in a planetarium, on a windmill, and more at the Great Jack-O-Lantern Blaze. And for those of you listening to this episode, episode 79, the last episode I published yesterday, was all about jack-o'-lanterns and jack-o'-lantern festivals, so we talk about that Great Jack-O-Lantern Blaze. The next town is St. Helens, Oregon. And this one, I don't think people realize, a lot of people when I talk to them realize is a thing. So if you're dreaming of visiting the real Halloween Town, the one from the Disney movie, head to St. Helens. Referred by some as Halloween USA, this charming small town is where most of the Disney Channel movie Halloween Town was originally filmed. Visit the iconic town square from the movie, attend parades, participate in costume contests, and view supernatural exhibits for the perfect October getaway. But the fun doesn't stop there. The home of the famous Twilight movie house also offers outdoor adventures and great places to eat and drink, making it a year-round travel destination. So Halloween things to do? Start participating in the month-long Spirit of Halloween Town festivities by heading to the famous town square to check out decorations, food vendors, live performances, and the lighting of the great pumpkin, the one used in the movie, I believe. Venture to the CMC Scare Factory to tour a family-friendly haunted mansion. Follow the Scarecrow Trail through the city's business district and around town to see contestants of the annual Scarecrow Contest. Partake in the Riverfront Festival of the Fairies to go on a scavenger hunt and play a giant whack-a-witch game or be a part of the spooky story time. Learn the lore of alien encounters and in the area and peruse artifacts at the Alien Museum and the Masonic Ballroom. Or get into the Halloween spirit by taking a tour of the Haunted Hotel Haunted House. So from there, we'll move on to what Country Living has deemed the best small towns to visit this Halloween for a myriad of reasons, haunted houses, festivals, and more. So you can celebrate the spookiest time of the year in these quaint villages across America, which I would assume Romeo, Michigan falls into this category. So the first one is New Hope, Pennsylvania. I'd never heard of this. Set along the Delaware River and the New Jersey-Pennsylvania state border, this charming small town treats Halloween as a full season. Schedule a lantern-led ghost tour as early as September and be sure to make time for the Scarecrow Walk-in competition at Peddler's Village. Nearby Sesame Place hosts a not-too-spooky Halloween drive-thru for families, while Sleepy Hollow Haunted Acres is sure to scare the socks off any older Halloween lovers with a wander through an abandoned and bewitched old village. The next one is La Canada Flint Ride in California. Visit Descanso Gardens for Carved, a must-see event for any Halloween fun. That's Carved, all capital letters. Hundreds of perfectly carved pumpkins line the Camellia Forest each fall, in addition to extra activities like hay rides, a pumpkin house, and even a fun blacklight exhibit. The next one is Dearborn, Michigan. And I think I talked about this one in the last episode I did yesterday. Over 1,000 jack-o'-lanterns light up the night at Dearborn's annual Halloween at Greenfield Village event. But that's not all you'll find here. A costume headless horseman along with apple cider and donuts add to the fun that bring joy to visitors of all ages. The next one, Sleepy Hollow, we just talked about, talking about how there's so many ways to celebrate Halloween in the hometown of Washington Irving's Headless Horseman legend. You can visit the 300-year-old Van Cortlandt Manor, which gets an epic makeover for the great jack-o'-lantern blaze every year, tour the historic Lyndhurst Castle, or take a walk around the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery where Washington Irving rests. The next we just talked about, St. Helens, Oregon. Recognize this town from the iconic movie Disney Halloween Town. The next one is Anoka, Minnesota, which we talked about, known as the Halloween Capital of the World. I never had heard about that. You'd think Halloween Capital of the World, I would know that, or had heard of it. The next one is Half Moon Bay in California, known as the Pumpkin Capital of the World. Also never heard of that. Half Moon Bay hosts an annual championship pumpkin weigh-off in every October. Fun fact, a farmer from Anoka, Minnesota, yep, another town on the list, won with a 2,350-pound fruit in 2020. Come for the giant, and we mean giant, pumpkins, and stay for the pumpkin beer, cozy inns, and stunning coastal location. The next one is Telluride, Colorado. Every year, locals have a wicked good time in the sleepy Colorado mountain town. At the Telluride Horror Show Film Festival, the Koto Halloween Bash, and the Town Parade, nestled in the Rocky Mountains, the location alone is enough to get you to book a plane ticket there. The next one is Croton on Hudson in New York, which is where the great jack-o'-lantern blazes, which we've talked about in this episode and in my last episode. The next one, another repeat, Salem, Massachusetts. The next one, Keene, New Hampshire. The New England town is a beloved Halloween hotspot. Get ready for plenty of fun at this small town's annual Keene Pumpkin Festival. Although postponed for 2022, the event promises to make its return in 2023. So that's good to know and interesting. And I talked about a little more detail about this festival in my episode yesterday, episode 79. So be sure to check it out. And sure enough, Romeo, Michigan has made it on the list, Terror on Tilson Street. Local homeowners creating spooky and detailed displays on their front lawns. Absolutely adorable. And then the next one is Eureka, Missouri. You can walk through the town of Eureka come October and you'll be in for a real treat. The town's annual Scarecrow Festival is not one to miss. You'll see scarecrows of your favorite characters, like the Minions, and people and animals and more while strolling through the streets. The next one is Stowe, Vermont. While Vermont is known for its gorgeous fall foliage and covered bridges, it's also a good place to go for a spook. Emily's Bridge is said to be the site of a woman's death in the 1800s. It's rumored she spitefully haunts the area, clawing at cars and scratching visitors. People have also reported hearing footsteps from under the tunnel. The next one is Asheville, North Carolina. There's a limitless amount of haunted adventures you could have in Asheville. Embark on one of the famous haunted Asheville ghost tours and then learn about all the spirits that lurk at the Omni Grove Park Inn, Helen's Bridge, and more. The Biltmore Village Mystery Tour is also another must. The next one is Pine Barrens, New Jersey. This southern New Jersey area spans over 1 million acres. It was left completely abandoned back in the colonial era when people discovered coal in Pennsylvania. There's plenty of reported supernatural activity throughout the ghost towns here, including rumors of the Jersey Devil. The next one is Harrisville, Rhode Island. The Conjuring is the ultimate scary Halloween movie. Instead of watching it this year, why not experience it? The terrifying home served as the real-life inspiration for the film, and current homeowners say it's still very much haunted. Whether you book a regular tour or an overnight investigation, expect plenty of paranormal activity. I didn't know you could actually stay at that house that movie was based off of in Harrisville, Rhode Island. The next is Estes Park, Colorado, and you guys might know this because it's the mountainside village home to the historic Stanley Hotel, which was the inspiration behind Stephen King's chilling novel, The Shining. You can get into the Halloween spirit by attending the Shining Ball or a murder mystery dinner hosted at the hotel. Also fun, on Halloween night, everyone in the community skips door-to-door visits and heads to Main Street for trick-or-treating. The next is Independence, Kansas. Head to the southeast Kansas small town for their Niwala, which is Halloween spelled backwards, festival. It's a 9-day long celebration which includes dozens of activities like parades, food festivals, carnivals, and more. In years past, roughly 75 visitors came, making it the largest annual event in the state. The next one, Fall River, Massachusetts. Does that sound familiar? All horror fans know the creepy story of Lizzie Borden, but did you know you can stay in the house where the infamous axe murders happened? It's been converted into a bed and breakfast, but the interior has been left pretty much exactly the way it was in the 1800s. The next is Erie, Colorado. Anderson Farms is known for its never-ending corn maze, which has been around for decades. Go during the daytime for a fun outing, or get your scare on at night with the Terror in the Corn attraction. The next one, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. The Crescent Hotel, built in 1886, is known as America's most haunted hotel for a reason. In 1930, a man named Norman Baker posed as a doctor and rebranded the building as a faux cancer hospital. Employees of the hotel say he still haunts the place to this day. The next one, which I'm surprised wasn't on our first list, is Savannah, Georgia. I wouldn't call Savannah a quaint town. It's pretty big. It's a city. Savannah is a quaint yet terrifying place to visit come Halloween. Those who have visited the Victorian era Bonaventure Cemetery have reported seeing ghosts, hearing unexplained noises, and seeing statues appearing to smile. And I was in Savannah, I think, it might have been 2 years now, 2 years ago now, and I do have a Savannah episode planned because there's so much. I have a special guest for that episode. Schedules are just hard to do sometimes when we're all busy, so hopefully we'll be able to get that one out sooner than later, because there is a lot to say about Savannah. The next one is Sycamore, Illinois. Multiple carnivals, craft shows, and sprawling pumpkin display make Sycamore the place to be around Halloween. The Sycamore Pumpkin Festival even includes a 90-minute parade, perfect for the family. The next one is Mansfield, Ohio. It looks like there's a photo here of a gigantic building, and it says, "If this photo gives you the creeps, you're not alone. Tour the Ohio State Reformatory for a true paranormal adventure. The Shawshank Redemption was filmed in the halls of this old abandoned prison, and it's rumored that former inmates still haunt the place to this day." It looks terrifying. I'll post the picture, this article with pictures. The next one is Hartford, Connecticut. Mark Twain fans, this one's for you. You can visit the very same mostly untouched home that the author once lived in. Just don't be surprised when you hear random noises or even see a ghost or two. The billiard room is said to be the most haunted, with some reporting that they could smell Twain's cigar smoke. The next one is Dixon, California. What better way to spend Halloween than working your way through one of the largest corn mazes in the world? Cool pumpkin patches is the perfect place to wander around for hours in the fall weather. Then there's Glencoe, Illinois. If you're looking for true artwork, Glencoe's Night of 1,000 Jack-O-Lanterns is the place to be. Talented artists put their best pumpkins forward, hand-carving gourds both small and large. Costumed entertainers and carving demonstrations are also at the event. And last but certainly not least is Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. While not your typical Halloween town, Gettysburg is the ultimate spot for haunted experiences. The Battle of Gettysburg was once the bloodiest in American history, and many visitors believe that the soldiers who were killed there still haunt the area. If you're feeling super daring, try the Gettysburg Ghost Walk Tour. So I would say that I would like to go to Romeo, Michigan, St. Helens, Oregon, where the Disney's Halloween town, definitely New Orleans, I didn't even think about that, for a place to go. And then it sounds like Anoka, Michigan, that the what is it called, the Halloween capital of the world, that sounds super fun. And then I think Stowe, Vermont, to do like a covered bridge foliage tour, plus having spooky things to go to and see. Definitely Sleepy Hollow, and I'm a stone's throw away from that. I haven't been down there. I've been there, but haven't been down there purposely for anything spooky. So I would say those are probably top on my list of places to go for fun spooky fall Halloween events. So I thought that's a great way to kind of talk about some really fun places to go for kids and adults alike. And then I did want to just talk about a few. There's a list here, and it's the Halloween towns in New York that will terrify you and delight you in the best way possible. And there's a few on here that weren't on the other lists. Tarrytown, which is right next to Sleepy Hollow on the Hudson River, it's another Halloween destination. So if you go to Sleepy Hollow, do Tarrytown because it's right there. This town is well known for Lyndhurst, the incredible castle-like mansion that sits on nearly 70 acres of land in the Hudson Valley. During the month of October, Lyndhurst features their classic mansion tours with a Halloween twist, as well as their own Jay Gould's House of Curiosities. From October 19th through the 31st, Jay Gould's House of Curiosities at Lyndhurst pretty much lets you play a real-life game of Clue, putting you in a gorgeous castle and leaving guests to find out the missing pieces of an unsolved murder. Tarrytown is an incredible place to visit during Halloween. And then, you guessed it, Saratoga Springs is on the list. This isn't the first time we're going to talk about Saratoga Springs, and it won't be the last. Around this time of the year, those in search of all things Halloween can head to places like the Yaddo to take a ghost tour through the gardens, or search for paranormal activity in real haunted hotspots like the Bachelor Mansion and Canfield Casino. But aside from the truly haunted destinations that have become popular in town, there's also something new happening this year. This year will be the first haunted house right in downtown Saratoga, with all different levels of terror, with family-friendly attractions on the bottom and haunting terror waiting for the brave up on the top floors. The next is East Bethany. Does that sound familiar? The tiny town of East Bethany, out between Buffalo and Rochester, offers a remote small town Halloween experience that makes for even more frightening setting. Many of our residents head out to the town of East Bethany to visit Rolling Hills Asylum. And I have covered that before, but it's pretty infamous in New York State, an abandoned asylum that now serves as one of our state's top haunted attractions. Those looking for a Halloween thrill can take a tour through the asylum and participate in one of their three-hour psych hold ghost hunts. That's terrifying as can be. If you're looking to take the scare factor down a notch, also check out the Haunted Forest hike that's taking place on October 28th at the Genesee County Park in town. So that wraps up our little Halloween extravaganza, traveling around the best towns to visit. I know we covered pumpkin, jack-o'-lanterns and pumpkin festivals and fairs and whatnot, but I wanted to talk about the places that you could go for more than a few hours, places that you could actually go and spend a few days and really just immerse yourself in all things Halloween and get that truly nostalgic feeling in some of these places, like in Romeo, Michigan, on Terror on Tilson Street. There's nothing better than thinking about walking on a crisp fall Halloween night around in an area where either you're in costume, other people are in costume, people are celebrating, and there's fun decorations, maybe a bar you can hop into to get a spooky themed drink or a pumpkin beer. So sign me up for all of that. So I hope you enjoyed this little comprehensive list of basically where you should go for a couple days, if not a week or more, during the Halloween season. So on that note, I will post some of these videos so you can see some pictures and whatnot on our social media. But big happy Halloween to everyone out there. I have one more Halloween themed episode coming out. And as always, a big cheers and happy haunting.